Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and Time Magazine's Person of the Year announced this morning is President Barack Obama. Now, before you just turn off your radio and say, oh, that's boring, joining me now to talk about the choice is Time White House correspondent Michael Shearer. He wrote the cover story and was one of the Time journalists who interviewed the president last week. Hi, Michael. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me. You think that's the reaction people would want to turn off the radio?
Yeah, well, you know, if we do something boring, people are going to turn off the radio. And this is the second time that Obama has been named Person of the Year. It also happened in his first election year in 2008. What was the reason this year that's different from the first time?
Yeah, in 2008, he won because of the campaign he had run and the change he had promised. It was very much like that year itself, an aspirational pick. And in 2012, the story of this election and the reason he was selected again was that not the change he promised, but the change he had wrought. And you know, the 2012 race for him personally, and if you look at the exit polls and talk to people who voted for him, was not a race about the idea of Barack Obama. It was a race about the man Barack Obama, the record he had, as disappointing as it was, the trust he had built with the American people. And he really has changed this country in a number of different ways. And I kind of focus on three in the story. One, there is a new governing coalition that is emerging. 2008 wasn't a fluke. Some of this has to do with demographics. But it's clear that when he's on the ballot, different people vote, and that's a majority of this country. And that could have huge implications going forward along the lines of what Reagan did in the 1980s. Two, he's changed the way campaigns are run in this country. Campaigns will never be the same, not just technology, but the whole idea of grassroots on the level and scale he did it. The ability to use small dollar donations, again, even in a year with decreased enthusiasm, to basically outmaneuver and outperform these giant super PAC checks that were coming in that the press was talking about for a long time. And the third is the sort of policy story. This country is very different after those first 4 years. We have Obamacare in place. We have new regulations of the banks. You had all the research and investments and debt that came with the stimulus. But you also have a huge shift you've already seen just in the weeks after that election in the national conversation about things like immigration reform, which is going to happen or the Republicans will suffer greatly at some point next year, and taxation. We're now in a place where you couldn't have said we were 3 months ago, where tax rates are going to go up on the wealthiest Americans no matter what. And Republicans have acceded to that, and that's because Obama's been able to lead the country in that direction.
Now, listeners, some of you know we've been collecting your nominations for Person of the Year, which, roughly stated, means the most influential person of the year, or you could make it the one you most want to honor, even though that's not exactly what Time Magazine does. Theirs is the most important, most influential person of the year, for better or worse. But some of you have been posting your nominations on our Facebook page. We could take a few on the phone right now. Have you thought about this? Who would you put on your personal magazine cover as the person of the year for 2012, most important, most influential? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. If you want to put one of your own on the table, 212-433-9692. With Michael Shearer, White House correspondent for Time. And Michael, I get your idea. I think your central point of the president leading and capitalizing on a political realignment, and your managing editor, Richard Stengel, I think in one of the side pieces, said this rivals the Ronald Reagan realignment of 30 years ago. And I remember Obama speaking in the 2008 campaign about wanting to be a transformational president, not like Ronald Reagan, not meaning with the same kinds of policies, obviously, but meaning to help lead a change in the country's politics and values. And this isn't exactly that, right? You give him credit for capitalizing on the demographic realignment that's taking place in the country. But I would say to accomplish his real goal, the way he compared himself to Ronald Reagan, aspirationally, he still has to lead a different kind of change in the country that's more values and policy-based. Do you agree?
You know, we actually talked to him about this during the interview, and the interview is up online as well, and talked about his goals. And what came clear, and I think he's sort of moderated this some since that 2007-2008 campaign, is that he doesn't see his presidency as one that will be ideologically transformational. He doesn't. If you ask him what are his goals going forward when he leaves in 4 years, what does he want, the mark he wants to have left on the country, he doesn't talk in terms like Reagan would have about government as the problem, we have to shift away from this, or even as Clinton did in sort of reinventing the Democratic Party and the era of big government is over. He talks really about just getting the country back on track, especially for the sort of middle wage earning people whose salaries have been stagnant for a number of years, repositioning the country internationally, and to the extent he does talk about values and social issues, he does see himself as representing very much not just a demographic change. He speaks of it more as a generational change in values, and you saw this in a lot of the social issues which dominated this campaign, which really worked against Republicans and to Democrats' benefit, which is a huge shift from 2004, in which social issues like gay marriage and abortion were an asset for Republicans.
Which connects to the demographic changes, because it wasn't just the rise of the Latino voter who voted in a larger percentage of the electorate than they did 4 years ago. It's also the Asian voters who went for Obama 74%, even more than Latinos. It's the rise in unmarried women who voted overwhelmingly for Obama. It's a new class consciousness in the age of rampant inequality that Occupy helped bring to the fore and then Obama was able to capitalize on. And that doesn't change America necessarily, but it does change the power dynamics that he was able to pull all these Americans into a political coalition.
Well, and I would say, though, that you know the demographics is talked about as destiny in politics, but it wasn't in this case necessarily. If you talk to demographers, what they'll tell you is, you know, every year you get 1 or 2 less percent of the white vote every 4 years in presidential cycles.
Right.
Obama was basically able to move us a couple cycles ahead of where we would have been by getting younger people and Latinos and African Americans to turn out and vote for him in the percentages they did. So it doesn't mean that the coalition that we had at the polls in 2012 is what Democrats have to look forward to in 8 years if the Republican Party doesn't change. It is not necessarily what they would have had in 2012 if Obama wasn't on the top of the ticket.
But part of your piece was about data miners and the machine that put Obama back in office. You've been alluding to that here, too.
Yep.
And at times it seemed like the campaign mechanism in place for Obama 2012 was bigger than the candidate. So did you consider making them the person of the year, the whole, you know, collective Obama machine, including the data miners and et cetera?
Well, we did interviews, and there's photographs of the tech team and the sort of geek squad that helped elect the president in the story. But no, the answer is no. Every one of them will tell you, you know, what they did was revolutionary, and then they'll explain how they did it. And clearly, they were doing things that Republicans were not even thinking about this cycle. But they'll all say we couldn't have done it without him, and that really you don't get an increase in volunteers this cycle just because you have good databases. You get an increase in volunteers this cycle because the people who supported Obama last time wanted to support him again. And you know, the place I point to in the story to demonstrate this is that if you look at polls of public confidence in American institutions, banks, big business, Congress, the news media, we're all kind of being dragged along the bottom of historical norms. So we've gone down to our lowest point since the mid-70s in the Gallup polls of these things. The American people don't trust us anymore. They don't have confidence anymore. If you talk to Republicans, if you talk to people in the Romney campaign, people in the Obama campaign about what was sort of the underlying dynamic of this race, they'll say the same thing. In focus groups from the very beginning, Americans were disappointed in what the president had done. They felt he hadn't fulfilled his promises, but they trusted him. And they believed he was doing the right thing, and he was trying to do the right thing for the country. And that quality is sort of underpins this whole grassroots operation. I mean, what he's basically been able to do is merge the 1960s-style community organizing ideas with technology, with Silicon Valley, and he's produced this magnificent thing. And the actual mechanics of that were not done by him, but it wouldn't have been possible without him.
Of course, Mitt Romney also did a lot to inspire people to volunteer for Barack Obama. But speaking of the data miners, Marion Westfield, who's your choice for person of the year?
Nate Silver.
Ha.
And if I can just say, it's because there is a bit of a bias in a lot of our country against math and science, and he demonstrated that math and science win. So
there you
I
go.
Thank him for that.
I like it very much. Looking over our board, and we don't have time to put everybody on the air, somebody's nominating Bradley Manning for Person of the Year, who leaked all that WikiLeaks stuff. Somebody's nominating Tina Brown for putting your competitor Newsweek into destruction. And here's Anne in Sussex County, who's calling to nominate the person who, by the way, was the clear number one on our Facebook page over the last day when we've been doing this. Who should have been the person of the year on Time Magazine's cover, according to Brian Lehrer Show Facebook users? Anne in Sussex?
Hillary Clinton, because of the collective sigh of relief when she landed in the Middle East this fall.
Thank you very much. And Hillary and Bill together as a couple, Michael, were one of the official runners-up, right?
Yeah, they were definitely a group we discussed as we were trying to come up with the answer this cycle. And the thing about Nate Silver, I just want to add, you know, one of the interesting things I found reporting this story is that the same sort of models that he was running, where he would run the election thousands and thousands of times to try and create probabilities for states and stuff like that, a lot of that's very new. It wasn't really used much in the 2008 cycle. Mm-hmm. And they were part of the briefings that the president was getting in the Roosevelt Room. And the reaction among the president and his senior staff to those briefings, where, you know, is down to the exact percentages of every place and how much this place would matter, that level of math intricacy was astounding to the president's staff. It was something they kept talking about during the campaign, as saying, we just didn't know this would ever be possible. So I do think, I mean, whether Nate Silver gets it or something else, there is a technology story here.
Right.
And a science story.
And the caller is right. Science got it right. The pundits who like to rely on their own gut got it wrong. And we're just about out of time. I'll correct and say Bill and Hillary were on your official short list of people being considered for Person of the Year. There are also official runners-up who this year include Malala Yousafzai, the Pakistani activist who was pushing for better education for girls when the Taliban shot her in the head. And we're out of time, but I just wanted to make sure that she at least got noted in there as a runner-up, and we'll talk more about her in subsequent days. So Michael Shearer, White House correspondent for Time, talking about their Person of the Year for 2012, President Obama. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Brett.